Well, Apostle Simon, you may well have counted three of your miserable mongrels out, but you won't be counting any of them back in.
With only the most minimal interference of the mule, he'd been able to take on and kill three armed men, single-handed. His mind filled with what a tale he'd tell Ryan when the one-eyed man returned from his quest for the Grail. A certain modesty, a shrug of the shoulders to underplay the achievement. Doc opened the creaking door of the barn.
At least three rogues in green buckram came at me. No, I think that there were six. Three I slew and wounded five others so that they ran scampering for...
What happened? You hurt, Doc?
The old man leaned an arm across the skinny shoulders of the boy, feeling a certain comfort in the support.
Not a scratch on me, dear child. But three of the ungodly are currently negotiating their price for a ticket over the Styx with the Dark Ferryman.
What?
Three of the flaggies came in the barn. Helped by Judas, I managed to chill them all.
Three?
All three.
I thought I saw a fourth man heading toward that shallow draw that runs close by the orchard.
Where is Christy?
Dean pointed vaguely with the barrel of his 9mm Browning.
Somewhere out there.
Christy heard the panicked breathing of the last of the flaggy intruders as he blundered through the sagebrush toward her, stumbling along the bottom of the narrow, twisting arroyo. The noise of Doc's blaster, muffled by the barn, had probably not reached out across the desert to the camp of the Slaves of Sin. It sounded like there was just a single survivor of the attack, so she figured it would be good tactics to try to take him out silently. She holstered her own gun and waited, crouched in the shadow of the steep-sided draw, gathering her breath, clearing her mind of everything except what she was about to do. The scrambling noise was closer, and she straightened, clenching her fists, bracing herself. She punched at the slightly built man with a right fist, putting all of her body weight and power behind the blow. She aimed at the flaggy's throat, feeling the thyroid cartilage crush against her knuckles. She followed up with an equally devastating punch from her left fist, aimed a little higher beneath the point of the chin. Christy turned away immediately, stooping to pick up what she recognized as Mildred's rare Czech revolver. She tucked it in her belt and strode toward the house, leaving the dying man to his solitary passing. In the moonlight, Dean spotted the glint of cold flame from Christy's hair as he and Doc emerged from the shadows of the orchard.
You okay?
Yeah. You too?
Doc killed three of the crazies. Three aces on the line.
Christy held out the blaster she'd recovered.
Mildred's. It would seem that we would be well advised to make a prompt move against the remainder of the ungodly. Their chief will realize, when his men don't come back, that something's gone wrong. And he might decide to kill Jack and Mildred and make a run for it.
I saw someone by the dry gulch.
Go at your enemy before he goes at you.
Only 3-1 odds now. Why not?
Blade held low, point up.
Of course. Though you might do better against someone real good with a knife if you break the rules. Go in high with a point down.
JB pondered on that for a while, picking up a dry branch of pinyon pine, snapping it across his knee, and tossing it into the heart of their fire.
Could be, I suppose. Often works to try the unexpected.
Not in a mech standoff.
Both of them had encountered that particularly brutal form of frontier dueling, where each man holds one end of a bandana, or a short length of cord, between his teeth, and fights with a knife at close quarters. The rules said that if either of them should break away, then the onlookers would kill them instantly.
Different rules for that game, all right. Remember what the trader used to say about close combat blade skills?
Ryan nodded, waving his hand to drive a persistent moth away from his bowl of stew.
Sure. You have to be ready to give your left hand, your left arm. Maybe even risk a superficial cut at your face. Let him see your blood, and he thinks he's won.
And he gets careless.
Right. Give up that, and you can take his kidney or throat or genitals or eyes. Trade-off's likely the only thing to save your life.
JB leaned back against the padded chair, his feet stretched out in front of him, his head on one side as he listened to the ferocious wind howling outside the cabin.
Hard night. Talking to Trader, it'll be damn strange to meet him again. If we ever do.
Quiet. He's coming back. Doesn't seem the sort of man to like to talk about knife fights.
nor about Traitor.
My sight may have taken wing from my eyes, Outlanders, but my ears have become rather better than normal. If you want to talk about violence, then feel free. Whatever turns you on, as they used to say before the long winters, you're my guests. And about this Traitor person you keep mentioning?
The LAV-25 was 16 miles back, along the side trail off Highway 410, with its engine burned out through a cracked piston that had sheared and blown the whole casing apart. It wasn't the kind of damage you even thought about repairing. The snows had been bad, and there were only 5 days to go before their deadline in Seattle, somewhere around 100 miles distant. Ryan had spotted the narrow road off to the right among tall white-topped pines, and they'd followed it upward until he reached the isolated cabin, the home of Al Bourgeois. In his 70s, close to blind, Al called himself a meditating hermit.
At my age, meditation is about all I'm good for.
He'd been living in the lee of Mount Rainier's 14,500-foot shadow for most of his life. He got by with the help of a pack of hunting dogs that were all asleep out back, and by the kindliness of the folks who lived in the nearby small ville of Godfrey Falls. He was one of the kindest and gentlest men that either Ryan or JB had ever met. They'd asked him whether he felt frightened about being attacked by some of the Wolfset outlaws who roamed Deathlands. Al had smiled and tugged at his long white beard, shaking his head at the question. His milky eyes turned from man to man.
To be robbed means you have something worth stealing, friends. Is that not true?
Some kill because they have a taste for it. Is that not true?
Yeah, I suppose so. Then you leave here after the blizzard ends thinking that the foolish old man has been unbearably lucky. Is that not true?
During the evening, the two friends found themselves opening up to the old man, talking about the rest of their group back in New Mexico, about their early lives and riding in the big war wags for so many years, and finally, about the sudden news that Traitor lived. Al had nodded, nursing a large balloon glass of some home-brewed brandy that he'd been happy to share with them, occasionally asking a question or making a quiet, wise comment. Both JB and Ryan were drawn into sharing their hopes and plans for the indeterminate future.
Settle down with Mildred and lay the blasters aside.
Yeah, all that. And maybe raise a family while there's time.
Ryan stood and stretched, feeling a wonderfully warm indolence sliding through his body.
Time for bed. You've been real kind, Al.
Sure have. We were lucky to find you up here. Need more of that luck to find Traitor.
If he's alive. Been months since Abe sent us the message.
Al reached out cautiously for his glass, draining the last drops of the golden liquid.
Abe is a small man with a mustache, and Traitor carries an armalite. An older man?
We didn't tell you that.
Ryan's hand reached for the Sig Sauer.
Please, please. The gun is the last resort of the emotionally immature. You mentioned Traitor was an older man. The rest is what I've heard from the local people. Strangers are rare up here and not always welcome. Particularly when they go around with blazing weapons.
You're saying that you heard about Traitor?
Sorry to say that I have.
Been some deaths?
You've traveled Deathlands for many years. You know how the Bush Telegraph operates. Packmen and travelers carry stories and news. Births and deaths and marriages. My father used to call it hatched, dispatched, and matched. Bad news and good, sad and happy. Strangers and dangers. It often takes less than a day for word to race 100 miles and no man can quite explain how that happens.
Yeah, know what you mean. So you've heard a lot about Abe and Traitor?
I didn't know the one name, not for sure and certain. But the rumor was constant that the older man was indeed the legendary Traitor.
And?
There was a pause. The wood in the hearth sent sparks out onto the stone flags.
Wood's not properly seasoned.
You were talking about how many deaths?
There was a man slain in a stour in a dirt-poor ville in the backcountry. It may be that the blame lay not entirely with your companions. A posse was raised. You know, they're all family in those places where father lies with daughter and brother with sister. Then a woman and some men were killed near a bridge across a river.
This was during the chase, was it?
Ryan knew that at such times, Traitor became totally ruthless, single-minded to the point of casual brutality, sometimes past that point. Taking personal survival above all.
It was, but I doubt you can wipe the slate clean on those grounds.
Posse still after them?
Nope.
Gave up?
Dead.
All of them?
Every last man and boy.